The resurrection of our Lord was an unexpected thing, even to our Lord's disciples, save for really his mother. In all the accounts of the resurrection, we hear from just about everybody but Mary, because Our Lady is not in any of those stories, simply she wasn't going to the tomb with the holy women. She didn't need to go and look at the tomb after the women came back and told the disciples, as Peter and John did. She wasn't on the road to Emmaus when the two disciples had lost hope and were leaving because our Lord was dead. All the stories are really about slowness to believe, about the fact that it wasn't expected. And yet our Lord had spoken of his resurrection, his death and resurrection. He had prepared his apostles and disciples. He had spoken of his death. He had rebuked Peter because Peter had said that it was a bad idea. He even called Peter Satan for that reason. He took Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Tabor, and there was transfigured before them in light with Moses, the giver of the law, and Elijah the prophet there beside him. It must have looked, we might imagine, like it did on the morning of the resurrection, with our Lord there transfigured before his apostles. He prepared them. Even on their way down from Mount Tabor, he told them not to tell anybody what they had seen until he had risen from the dead, and they discussed among themselves what he meant by being raised from the dead. And so we hear of how the holy women went to the tomb and saw the angels, and he announced the resurrection to them. And he said to them, "Don't be amazed. Why are you amazed? You seek Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified. He has been raised. He is not here." In other accounts, we're told that the angel tells them that he has risen as he had told them, kind of polite rebuke for their lack of faith. So we pass from darkness to light on this most solemn of nights. We pass from the darkness of doubt and sinfulness to the light of faith, grace, forgiveness, and holiness. And as part of the Easter liturgy for this evening's Mass, that I'd like to go over just briefly, because we do it every year, and because the way we do it here, we have the fire outside, and you're inside, you can't really see much of what's going on. You hear a little bit, but you don't see very much. And it's a fundamental part of this celebration, and it's about this passage of from darkness to light. So we begin with the fire outside, the Easter fire, which the priest blesses, saying, "We share in the light of your glory through your Son, the light of the world. Make this new fire holy and inflame us with new hope. Purify our minds by this Easter celebration and bring us one day to the feast of eternal light. So we pray for hope, for the light of Christ, and for the purification of our minds. And then the priest prepares the candle by tracing on it the cross and the Alpha and the Omega and the date, the year 2009. He says, Christ yesterday, today, as he traces the vertical arm, the beginning and the end, as he traces the horizontal arm, and the Alpha and Omega, all time belongs to him as he traces the first number in the year, and all the ages, the second number. To him be glory and power, the third number, through every age forever. Amen. And then he places in the wounds along the bars of the cross, he places in the spot where the wounds would be, with these words, grains of incense. By his holy and glorious wounds, may Christ the Lord guard us and keep us. Amen. So everything converges on the resurrection. And when we begin in the darkness, we proclaim our faith that there is no salvation except in Jesus Christ, and that without him we are in the dark. And when the candle comes into the church, it's a sign of the resurrection and of Christ and of his grace. And we consecrate our whole life, all of time, to our Lord as we begin this Easter celebration, as we begin this new time in the history of the world in which we live in the time of fulfillment, the power and glory of the Lord is present already to us now. And every Mass is a celebration of the resurrection. Every time we participate in the Mass and receive Holy Communion, we are being incorporated into Christ. We receive not only grace, but we receive the crucified and resurrected Lord himself. And so tonight we deck out the church and the liturgy and our lives in the solemnity and glory of this season. And yet the reality of it is with us every day. The externals of the liturgy hopefully reach their peak at the Easter Vigil. And yet the truth of it is with us all the time, each and every day of our life, and especially when we come before our Lord in the Eucharist and receive him in Holy Communion. And that's really the challenge, isn't it? That we should understand and believe that and experience it on Good Friday just as much as we do on Easter Sunday. And Our Lady did. Our Lady stood at the foot of the cross and saw beyond what everyone else saw. Everyone else saw our Lord bloody and beaten and broken and dying, saw his heart opened and the flood coming out. But they didn't expect something beyond that. If they had expected it, even though our Lord had prepared them for it, we wouldn't have heard about anybody on Easter Sunday except that the fact that our Lord appeared to them after his resurrection. And so somehow, through a life of prayer, through a sacramental life, through our confidence in God, through our consecration to the Blessed Mother, through our rosaries and our willingness to turn our hearts and our minds towards our Blessed Mother each day, even in the midst of difficulty, in spite of the fact that sometimes we fall, we have to find this grace, the power of our Lord's resurrection that is with us each and every day. If we saw it, we would think differently. We'd be more patient. we'd carry our cross, we would be more generous, and we'd be full of hope. And so that's what we pray for tonight on Easter. It's what we ask the Lord for. That's what we beg our Blessed Lady for as we continue in this celebration of the Eucharist and as we rejoice in the truth and the power of God that is manifested to us in this glorious celebration of our Lord's resurrection.
Fructum ventris tuum.